So we actually finished up on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and we started on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We'll give a little bit of a backtrack, you know, to review, you know, some of the points that we made until now. And we're talking about the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Chiya. The case is the following. The Tovea demanded Lomer Zogin 1,000, and the Nitba denied the entire claim. That's called Kofra Kol. Then two Edom came in and testified on behalf of the Tovea on 50, on half of the claim. And Rabbi Chiya says we're going to derive from a Kal Vachomer that in such a case, the Nitba, right, we call him the defendant in fancy English, he has to take a shvua on the balance on the other 50. And that's derived from Modim Mixas. Now, in the case of Modim Mixas, we have no Edim, but we have the admission of the Nitba, the defendant admits 50, and he has to take a shvua on the other 50. Can we derive from Piv, from Odas Peh, that certainly in the case where the Edim testify on 50, the Nitba has to take a shvua on the other 50? And Rabbi Chiya's answer is a definite yes. The Gemara has problems with Rabbi Chiya. Why? Because there's a logic to understand and justify a shvua in the case of Modim Mixas, because there we have something called Ishtamuti Komishtamet, we have what's called Horos Heter. The Nitba has, you know, in his mind, he justifies the fact that right now he can't pay up the entire sum, so he bluffs it a little bit, he fabricates it, and he says, I only owe 50.
Very good.
Oh, okay, we'll get to the Migu too, but before we get to the Migu, the point of the Shmua is that if he's somehow dilly-dallying, you know, he's foot-dragging, and he really intends to pay the other 50, but in his mind he justifies denying the other 50 because he doesn't have the cash on hand, that's called Ishtamuti Kamishtamit. So hopefully the Shmua will accomplish the goal, and he will be afraid to take a false oath and deny the other 50. And instead of taking the oath, he'll admit that he owes the balance of the claim. However, in the case of Edim, that's Rabbi Chiya's case, where he denied the entire claim, there's no svara to say Ishtamuti Kamishtamin. And therefore we really believe that on the tzad that he's not telling the truth, he's an outright thief. And we have a principle called Choshed Amamono, Choshed Nami Ashvuasa. If a person is a thief, he's willing to take an oath and falsify and plagiarize his oath, and that doesn't bother him. So the Gemara says that the answer to that question is a Kal Vachomer. And Rabbi Chiya has a Kal Vachomer. What's the Kal Vachomer? Piv has a limited, Hodas Baldin has a limited reliability. And for example, in the case of a knas, where somebody comes into Bezdin and confesses that he's chayv kefel because he's a thief, so piv hodas baldin is not strong enough, if you will, to be mechayev him to pay kefel. Why? Because the Torah says asher yashion Elohim prat lemarshias atzmo, which means that Hodas Baldin is not enough to be Mechayev a Knas. Whereas Edim, if they testify against someone that he stole a para, that he stole a cow, he has to pay two cows. So in that sense, Edus is more powerful and has a more far-reaching implication than Piv, than Hodas Baldin. So Madach, in the case of Hodas Baldin, in Modu B'Mikzas, it's Mechayev a Shvu on the other 50, how much more so in the case of two Edom that testified that he owes the 50, how much more so should it be Chayev Shvua, because the power of Edus to be Mechayev is even greater than that of Hodas Baldin. That was the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara takes one pot shot after another to try to shoot down Rabbi Chiya with one Pircha after the other to prove that indeed the power of Piv is even greater than that of Edus, to such an extent that in cases, which we'll mention a few of them, where there's a head-on collision between Piv and Edim, Piv is reliable and Edim are not. So I'll give you one example. That's the case of a korban. The two Edim testify that he ate chalev b'shogeg, and he denies the whole claim. Does he bring a carbon? Does he not bring a carbon? So the Chachamim say he's not going to bring a carbon because he denies that he ate the chalev. I, the Edom, testify that he ate the chalev. No. The Torah believes his peh and not the Edom. That becomes now a pircha that undermines the whole Kal v'chomer of Chiyah, because of Chiyah's Kal v'chomer is meant to prove that wherever Piv is believed, and whatever power you give to Piv, how much more so is greater in the case of Edus. Edus is greater than Piv. But here's a case of a head-on collision between Piv and Edim, and we believe him and we don't believe the Edim. So you see that Piv is even greater than Edim. So the fact that Piv, in the case of Odom and Mixas, is Mechayev Shvua, proves absolutely nothing about the case of two Edim. That it doesn't prove that two Edim are Mechayev Shvua. And the Gemara is so hard pressed with this objection that the Gemara has to introduce Rabbi Meir, and the Gemara makes a correlation here, a relationship between the Shita of Rabbi Chiya and his Kal v'chomer and the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that what? He has to bring a carbon. Why? Because the Edom testify that he ate chalef. He denies it, it doesn't matter. Edom is greater than Piv. How does Rabbi Meir know that Edom is greater than Piv? Excellent. Edom, if they testify against a person that he's guilty of a capital crime, he'll be condemned to death. But Piv, if a person comes in and he admits that he committed a capital crime, is we have principles that he's not believed. So you see that Edus is greater than Piv. And therefore in Karban, says Rabbi Meir, we're going to accept the testimony of the two Edim, even though he denies the claim that he ate Chalev, and he's going to have to bring a Karban. So the only way of justifying the conclusion of Rabbi Chiya, meaning the validity of the Kal v'chomer, is if you accept Rabbi Meir Shita, and there's no case at all under the sun in which Piv would be believed against Edom. Edom are always greater than Piv because we all like Rabbi Meir.
Principle of Ein Odom Osha Atzmo Rosha does not apply here.
Yeah, that could be the explanation as to why Piv is not believed to bring about an onish. In other words, you cannot incriminate yourself. This is the halachic objection to self-incrimination.
Or Kurvis.
Kurvit, or Adam Karavetz al Atzmo means that at the end of the day he can't testify against himself. But whatever the mechanism is, the bottom line is that Piv is not Neman, whereas Edom in the exact same case would be believed, and that should form a basis for Rabbi Meir's Kal v'chomer that Edom is greater than Piv. And Rabbi Meir takes that logic, that principle, and he applies it to the case of Karbon. So if two Edom testify that he ate Chalev, and he's chayev a carbon, even though he denies the claim, we're going to believe the Edim, and he's chayev to bring a carbon. That's Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Chiya must accept Rabbi Meir, because otherwise you have a tremendous gap here, a tremendous hole in the Kal v'chomer. That pircha would just completely undermine the Kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, you know what, it's not even enough to introduce Rabbi Meir here, because I have another pircha against this Kal v'chomer, and that's the case of Chomesh. So what's the parasha of Chomesh? Chomesh is part of a parasha called the Karban Asham. Asham Gzelos. Maybe you mentioned it in Karbanos, if you say Karbanos. I saw this whole discussion in Poskim whether we have to say Karbanos or not. Yesh Mekilu. But in any event,
what do you do?
I don't want to tell you what I say very selected Karbanos. I'm very selective. I don't have time to go through all the Karbanos. I should, but I don't. But in any event, that was Hodas Baal Din, by the way. But in any event, so it works like this. In the case of an Asham Me'ilos, a person was a defendant in a case of a monetary claim. He denied the claim, and then he took a Shvua to support his denial of the claim. So he was Kofer B'Pikadon, or whatever the case may be, and he took a Shvua to that effect. And then, lo and behold, he does tshuva, and he comes into Bez, and he says, I admit, I confess, that not only do I owe this money, but I also took a false oath, and he has to bring a carbon asham. Obviously, he has to pay Karen. That's called Hodas Baal Din K'nei Edom Domi, but on top of it, the Torah says he has to pay Chomesh. Here's the difference between Piv and Edus. If two Edom testify that he owes the money and he perjured himself in that Shvua, then he doesn't pay Chomesh. But if he's Moder, then based on his Hodas Baal Din, he's Chayv Chomesh. So here again we see that Hodas Baal Din, Piv, is greater than to aid. So the Gemara again introduces Rabbi Meir. Yeah, what do you say, Yosef?
Zerat HaKatuv, that Asher Yishun Elokim. Otherwise, he would be.
I'll tell you, the truth is, Yosef, that Kal v'chomer is not logical. No, I mean that seriously. People make the mistaken impression that Kal v'chomer is human logic. It's mathematical or what we call symbolic logic. It's not. Kal v'chomer works with what I call rules and regulations. If you ever want to study this, take a look at Bava Kama in the cases of the Arba Avos Nezikin. The Gemara spends five blocks trying to derive the Arba Avos Nezikin from Kal v'chomer. And you'll see in every case that the Gemara applies Gzeiros HaKosuvs. Like, for example, Eish is potter from Talmud. I don't want to get into it now because we don't have time for this, but I would prove to you that that's a Gzeiros HaKosuv. And yet, the Gemara uses that in terms of the Kal v'chomer to derive Eish from other avos, so to upset you and create a pircha on the Kal v'chomer, because Eish is limited. You're not chayv for Talmud. Again, Kal v'chomer works with its own rules and regulations. It's not to be identified with human logic. I would call it the logic of Torah. It's within the framework of Torah. There's a certain principles of logic, and Kal v'chomer works within. So when I quote a pircha and I can show you that Eidim are not machayev and Piv is machayev, that's enough to satisfy the rules of pircha. Because again, Kal v'chomer works with its own rules and regulations. It's not human logic. So as soon as you say the word Gzeiros HaKosuv, Adarab, Gzeiros HaKosuv is the greatest pircha that you can have. Because once you have Gzeiros HaKosuv, you have halacha. I don't have to enter into logical analysis, and you know, I don't have to give a drasha before Musaf in order to explain why the halacha is so. And it creates a pircha.
So that's the case. An individual couldn't be Makadesh his own Kal v'chomer? Is that what you're saying?
No, on the contrary. I'm saying that Eino Don Kal v'chomer Liatzma, because Kal v'chomer is not human logic. If you want to come up with a Kal v'chomer, you have to operate within the very strict regulations that apply to the Torah. Now, would you be able to come up with your own Kal v'chomer based on those regulations? Maybe the answer is yes. You know, I don't know. For that, you have to learn the Meshech Chachma.
Technically, you can't hekesh, which, you know, you can't.
In any event, the Gemara says that Piv, in the case of Chomesh, is Machayev Chomesh. And the Gemara again introduces Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that since he has an absolute rule that Eidus is always greater than Piv, therefore, in the case of the Parsha of what we call Asham Gzelos, he will have to pay the Chomesh, even though he denies the claim, and the Eidim are testifying against him, because Eidim is always greater than Piv. Then the Gemara introduces what's called Hazama. And this proves that once again Piv is weaker than Eidus. No, I'm sorry, just the opposite. I'm talking about a pircha, right? So pircha means that Piv is greater than Eidus. Why? Let's say there was a head-on collision between the Hodas Baldin and two Eidim. The Modeh says that on such and such a day, at such and such an hour, in such and such a location, I borrowed $1,000. Two Eidim say that you were with us on that day, in that location. I'm sorry, you were with us on that day, in that time, but in a different location. So you couldn't have possibly have borrowed money. Or, for example, they testify that the Malva was with us in a different location. There couldn't have been Alva. So in such a case, the halacha is that the Piv is believed, and he has to pay the debt, even though the Eidim testify against him in a kind of Yimono Ayisem Hazama situation or a Hakosha situation. So Piv is so powerful that's Mechayev him Mamon, even despite the contradiction or the collision with two Eidim. And that itself would be again another case of a Pircha that would undermine the Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Chiya.
Who did not say that? This mitzvah, when he says he owes it, he's at that instant machayev himself.
Ah, okay, beautiful. So that, as it turns out, is a gigantic machlokas, which we discussed. When was it? Was it yesterday that we discussed this, or 2 days ago? It's a machlokas between. Let me tell you with the names, just for my own. a machlokus between the Rashba and Rabbeinu Peretz. The Rashba says that Odas Bal Din works me din his chayrus. It's like giving a matana. And I don't know if you're familiar with the famous Ketzos HaChoshen, where he doesn't mention the Rashba, but he identifies Odas Bal Din with Hilchus Nedarim. Just like a person could take a neder and create an iser which he accepts upon himself, so too he can take upon himself a chiv to pay mamon, even though there's no truth whatsoever to the facts on the ground. However, that's the shita of the Rashba. And who disagrees with the Rashba? Is it Rabbeinu Peretz? Just give me a second here. I just want to get the names. No, that's the Rashba who says it's his Rashba. Who is the one who?
The
Rashbates. The Rashbates? Ah, okay.
The Rashbates.
Right, the Shita Mekubetz quotes the Rashbates, who is much later than the Rashba, probably about 2 centuries later. And he disagrees with the Rashba, and he says, no, Hodas Bal Din means that we believe him, Legabe Atzmo. Again, it's a different kind of nemanus, very, very technical. But with regard to himself, we actually believe him. Does anybody remember in Yoredeya we have a very similar kind of hakira, whether it's like he's creating something new, or whether we believe him, Legabe himself? That's called Shavya Nafshi Chatifa Nisura. So for example, the Shochet says, I shechted properly, and this onlooker says, I know it was Apostle Ashkita. He's not allowed to eat from the meat. So again, the Ketzos goes into a whole discussion here. Is he accepting upon himself a brand new Isu, which is a Neder? Or Legabe Atzmo, he's believed. And even though Erechanem Bisurin and the Shochet is Biyado and all the different kinds of categories of Nemanus, and even if you would have a million Eidim that testify that they know that the Shechita was a Shechita Kshera, he himself is not allowed to eat the meat, perhaps me din neder. So again, you know, on two sides of the agenda here, we have something called Odos Bal Din in Mominus, and we have Shavya Nafshikatich in Isura in Isurim, and to some extent the same kind of vacillation in terms of two definitions will work in both cases. So in any event, we have a real slug up of this Kal V'chomer of Rav Chia, because now we see that Piv is greater than Edim, and in a conflict between Piv and Edim, for example in Hazama, Edim will be completely undermined by Hazama. So let's say two Edim testify that they saw on such and such a date that there was Alva, and then two Edim say Imano Isem, so we don't believe the first two pair of Edim. But in a case where the Edim are doing a Hazama against the Bodas Bal Din, then the Odas Bal Din is believed and not the Edim HaMazimim. And here we see again that Piv is greater than Hodas Edim. So Gemara comes up with a new formulation of the Kal V'chomer of Rav Chia, and that's called Gilgul Shavua. So this you'll see on the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Ela Amar Rav Papa, the second line, Asi mi Gilgul Shavua Gilgul Shavua. Now, let's try to understand what the Gemara is saying here. We have a case of Eid Echad. Now, there are two scenarios of Eid Echad. If you take a look on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, this is before Rav Papa, and you'll take a look, let's say 5 lines up before the end of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, we have Ela Asya Meid Echad. You see that? And the Gemara has a whole new formulation of the Kal V'chomer of Rav Chia. Rav Chia is not deriving his conclusion about Ha'odas Eidim to Mechayev Shvua from the case of Piv, of Hodas, of Modim Mikzas, because we had too many holes in that theory. The final and the basic hole was the Isa Bakhosha, or Eino Bakhosha, but rather from Eid Echad. So we're now shifting our entire framework. We're not talking about the Shvua of Modu B'Miktsas, we're talking about the Shvua of Eid Echad. And if Eid Echad could be Mechayev Shvua, which is one of the three categories of Shvua, though, right? So then how much more so, two Eidim could be Mechayev Shvua, right? Two Eidim certainly have more power than Eid Echad. Eid Echad is only Neman L'Chayev Shvua, two Edom are Nemanim L'chayev Mamon. So if Erechon can be Machayev Shvua, how much more so two Edom can be Machayev Shvua? Now this Rabosai doesn't lend itself to any Pircha. What I mean to say is you will find absolutely no cases where Erechon is believed and Shnei Edom are not believed. So all our efforts about Piv, that Hodas Bal Din is greater than two Edom, None of those pirchos could apply here in the context of Eid Echad. So that's a given. It's undeniable that two Eidim are greater than one Eid. However, the Gemara, in a very beautiful, profound move here, rejects this Kal V'chomer of Eid Echad. Because in the case of Shvuas Eid Echad, the Torah wants a Shvua to be makrish the Eid. That's not true in Rabbi Chiya's frame of reference. On the contrary, the Edom are testifying on 50. He will pay that 50. The Edom now, according to Rabbi Chiya, are being Machayev and Meshvua on the other 50. The Edom had nothing to say about the other 50. That's already going way beyond the Edom. So in the case of the Eid Echad, what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish and strengthen the claim of the plaintiff of the Toveya by supporting his claim with the testimony of one aid. Well, now the Toveya has a very strong claim, and if the Torah wants to convince, you know, wants the Bezdin to be convinced that despite the testimony of the one aid supporting the Toveya, there has to be some evidence to counter against the Eid Echad, what evidence is the Torah going to accept? The Shvua. So you have Shvua against the aid. That doesn't have any application in the case of Rabbi Chiya, because in the case of Rabbi Chiya, you don't have a shvua against the aid or the aidim. On the contrary, the shvua goes beyond the testimony of the aidim. On the 50 that the aidim testify, he pays right up front. On the other 50, which the aidim know nothing about, neither here nor there, that's where Rabbi Chiya wants to be mechayev shvua. What does that have to do with Eid Echad? Eid Echad is coming to support the claim on 100. Now you want to counter that claim, you need a shvua. That logic has no application in the case of Rabbi Chiya. Sam?
The way I would conceptualize it is that Eid Echad is not mechayev shvua. Eid Echad compels you to pay and allows you to get exempted with the Shvua. Whereas a Shtei Edom say you borrowed 50, we don't even allow the exemption of a Shvua. It's not an Eid Echad is mechayiv you to swear. Eid Echad is mechayiv you to pay unless you can get out of it when you swear. So you have a way out.
Are you talking about the principle of Rabbi Abba of Mitoch Sheni Yochel Yishav Mishalim? You mean that if he can't take the Shvua, he has to pay.
But basically
we believe...
If Eid Echad comes and says you're chayiv money, you're chayiv, right? So then I'm supposed to pay, I can get out with swearing.
Right.
Which is definitely, by two Edom, you can't get out with swearing under 50.
Correct.
Under 50.
Correct.
So
do you see where it's off kilter? The analogy is not a fair analogy.
There is no chiv of shua.
So you want to even strengthen the kasha and the pircha on this kavachomer?
Sure.
You're saying the following: that in the case of Eid Echad, he needs that shvua desperately in order to exempt him from a payment.
To get out from the chiyuv that the Eid Echad is creating.
Because the Eid Echad is creating a chiyuv.
Whereas the Edom, if they create the chiyuv, you can't even use the shvua to get out.
In the case of the Edom,
two Edom came say,
"Oh,
you
mean
on
the testimony of 50 on that 50?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. But again, why shouldn't you be taking a shvu on the other 50?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the pirch.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So that's
it's not even chiyev shua.
You know, that's the question.
Eidach does not mechayev shua.
Right. But again, if you ask me what the hava mina was, and we discussed this in the past,
that there's some kind of chiyev to swear.
Right. No, I'm saying something different. I'm saying that what was the hava mina that we can derive Rabbi Chiya's Shvua from Eid Echad. What's the commonality, the lowest common denominator between Shvua's Eid Echad and Rabbi Chiya's Shvua? And what I suggest was that we have a concept which Tosus touches upon here, Dibra Maskelat Tzad HaShoveh, called Taina Chashuva. When I come and claim 1,000 from you, that's not a Taina Chashuva. I met you on the street and now I schlepped you into Bezdin,
right,
and I say you owe me 1,000. I can ask for 1,000,000.
There's no grounds.
There's no grounds to support his claim. in the case of Rabbi Chiya, there's very strong grounds to support his claim. He didn't just meet someone on the street and tap him on the shoulder and say, I'm taking you to Beis Din because you owe me $1 million. I mean, who are you? I mean, well, I don't know you. I never saw you. I know you know me very well. We definitely had a transaction here, and the two Adam support that and testify to that. So that gives the Tovea a status of what Tosfos calls a Taina Chashuva. And if there's a Taina Chashuva, then we believe a Taina Chashuva unless you contradict it with a Shvua. Where do I have a precedent for that? How do I know that we believe a Taina Chashuva unless you contradict with a Shvua? When next the Nitba takes a Shvua? The answer is Eid Echad. Eid Echad breaks new ground. Eid Echad tells me that a Taina Chashuva. So the Gemara says, name. It's not enough to establish a Shvua based on Taina Chashuva. There's got to be a lot more than that. And what's extra here in the case of Eid Echad is that the Shvua comes to contradict the Eid Echad. That's the mechanics of a Shvua Eid Echad. But in the case of Rabbi Chiya, clearly the Shvua has nothing to do with contradicting the two Eid. El Amar Rav Papa, now we're on the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. This is the last sugya that we touched on. Asya migilgal shvua de'ed echad. Here's a case where the Eid Echad is mechayev shvua, and the shvua is not to contradict the Eid. On the contrary, in the case of Gilgul shvua, the Eid Echad has no knowledge whatsoever of the claim. So Reuven has two different claims on two different days, let's say, against Shimon. So there's the same Tovei and the same Nitba. In the second claim, he has an Eid Echad to support his claim. And that's enough to be mechayev shvua. Once he can be mechayev shvua based on the Eid Echad in his second claim, there's halach of Gilgul shvua. Now he can force the nitba to take a shvua to support his kofra kol where there was no Eid Echad. And here's a case where the shvua is generated by the Eid Echad, and yet it's not even being machish the Eid Echad. And in the language
how do we
of the
know that? I mean, is
how do we derive to Gilgul Shvua?
In logic for that? I mean, it seems to me just...
Again, I would go and say that it makes a Taina into a Taina Chashuva, meaning it's not that, you know, I met you on the street and I decided, hey, why don't I slip you into Beis Din and demand $1 million? I've already supported my claim with an Eid Echad. Admittedly, I didn't support my other claim, but once I supported my claim with an Eid Echad, somehow that the Eid Echad has power to expand the credibility of the Tovea even to a different...
Tosfos concretizes that power as Nero Kemeshaker. It sounds like you're a liar. Something's
right,
going on.
Right. That's what I meant to say, that once there's evidence in one Tvia, it means I'm not just, as I keep using this marshal, I'm not just tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, why don't you pay me up $1 million? We had a Maso Matan, we had a Dinu Dvarim, and now I have another claim against you. So if I can support one of my claims with an Eid Echad, then there's a certain support to my general claim against you, even in a different Dini Mominos. So that's the parsha of Gilgul Shvua, and what Rav Papa wants to prove from Gilgul Shvua is that an Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua, period. What's your counter-argument? No. The Shvua is only to be Machish the Eid Echad. That's not true. And I'll prove it to you from Gilgul, Shvua of Eid Echad. So if you take a look at the Gemara, El Amar Papa Asi Mi Gilgul Shvua de Eid Echad. And this is very nice. Right? In this, Rashi says in the third line, in this Chayavlo Shvua, Al Yidei Eid Echad, Kidam Rinon, right, he didn't have any testimony even of one aid to support his claim. So that's called lohaya mutelas alav shvua. Is megalgino sa im shvua zos. There's like a gilgul from the Eid Echad that supports him on one claim to the other claim that he has on the same nitva. And that Gilgul Shvua, Yalfina Lava Kedushimi Vi Omra Isha Amen Amen, it's just thing in the parish of Sota. Hare Shal Mashalo Hei'a. Here's the punchline. What do we prove from Gilgul Shvua Veid Echad? Al Mashalo Heid Ha'ed Hu Mashbio. Now it's based on the aid who's Machayavim in one particular case, a Shvua to be Machish the aid. We now have a Chiyuv that the aid generates in a case where the Shvua is not going to be Machish the aid because the aid didn't testify on that claim at all. So look at the power of an Eid Echad through Gilgul Shvua. He's capable of being Machayav a shvua which is not can be machash the ed, because the ed knows nothing about that claim. How much more so in the case of two edim, says Rav Chiya, according to our Papa's interpretation, that two edim can be machayev a shvua, even though the chiyuv shvua is to be nishpa not to be machash the edim, but al mashalo heyed hu nishpa. And where's the precedent for al mashalo heyed hu nishpa? Which is the language of Rashi here. That's going to be the case of Eid Echad B'Gilgul Shvur. So the Gemara rejects it. This cannot be the Kal V'Chomer of Rabbi Chiya. Why? The Gemara says, Mala Gilgul Shvur De Eid Echad. This is the third line down from the top. Shekain Shvur Goreres Shvur. Tomar be edim to mamon kamachayvo. So he says the following: you're misunderstanding Gilgul Shvur. You define Gilgul Shvur mistakenly as Gilgul Shvur de Eid Echad, meaning the Gilgul Shvur is the Shvur of the Eid Echad, as if to say that the Eid Echad has within his power, through his Eidus, the ability to mechayev a Shvur of Gilgul Shvur, even al mashalo heid. No, that's not how it works. What's going to be mechayev the second Shvur on the claim, you know, the original claim where there was no Eidus? It's the Shvur itself. It's Shvur Goreres Shvur, the Gemara says. In other words, once you owe me a shvua, that chov, so to speak, to be nishba, can now roll over to another shvua, to be mechayiv you another shvua. Once I'm being mechayiv you one shvua, it has nothing to do with the Eid Echad. The Eid Echad is only the background, he's only the excuse to set up a chiyuv shvua. Now the chiyuv shvua works on its own, it has its own life, its own mechanics, and it's megalgel from one shvua to the other. So shvua megalgeles shvua. And that's the lashon in the Gemara, Shvur Goreres Shvur. So don't derive any conclusions from Eid Echad to Shnei Eidim. Because again, it's not at all within the purview and the power of the Eid Echad to be Megalgal Shvur. The Eid Echad can only be Mechayev Shvur Al Masha Heid. On that you can tell me that you have to take a Shvur. But Al Masha Lo Heid, there is no Shvur Eid Echad. I don't think so. Rashi says we derive it from a parsha in the Torah. Unless you know something, Eliezer, that I don't know. Which is quite possible. You're a little bit older than me, so you may know more than me. Or even if you weren't older than me, maybe you know more.
I know the wrong things.
Yeah, you're being very humble, I see. Yeah.
That's my specialty.
Now, both say, be careful with this fellow. You know, you
see. It drags along. That would, to me, indicate that I'm one. That's all right.
Maybe you would be right before Rashi, and before the Gemara Kedusha that Rashi quotes. Okay. But Rashi says, V'omra isha amen amen. Again, I don't want to go through a whole sugya in Sota, but let's just the basics, you know, the Aleph base, right? Every case of a shvua in Sota is based on kinui and stira, correct?
Right.
Now, kinui means that he tells her not to be alone with Ploni Almoni, we'll call him Reuven. Now, in addition to being alone with Reuven, she went ahead and she was misyachedes, I guess you'd say, with Shimon. But with regard to Shimon, there was no kinui and stira. But the Torah says, V'onsa v'omra, amen v'omen, right? The Kohen is mashbiyaha, that she didn't have a relationship during this Yichud period. And now the Kohen has a right to be mashbiyaha, even vis-a-vis a different misyachin, meaning a different person named Shimon. And that's called Gilgul Shvua. This is not a rabbinic institution. You know, it's not that the Gzeres Chachom enacted some sort of institution called Gilgul Shvua. We're dealing with Dorais. And Rashi goes out of his way to say Gilgul Shvua Dorais.
Does there have to be a connection between those two Shvuas? By Sota, there's a connection.
Here, I guess the connection is just the Tovei and the Nitpa. Meaning, if it's the same Tovei and the same Nitpa, then you're suspect of denying my claims. I made one claim, and you're suspect because I supported my claim with an Eid Echad, and that was Mechayev Yushvur. And now I have a different claim on you, and again, you're suspect of denying my claim.
Isn't that a stretch?
It's like a Hooks on Kafran kind of thing.
How can you learn that from Sota?
So for that, we'd have to go through the sugya in Kiddushin. I don't know if you, if you want, maybe for tomorrow I could believe neder. I mean, again, I don't want to take an neder gadol, and I don't even know if you'll be here tomorrow, Rabbi. So it might not even achieve my goal. But I would have to go through the Gemara in Kiddushin and see exactly how. But Rashi goes out of his way and he adds this word doraisa. He has Eliezer in mind here. He says the Gilgal Shvua doraisa.
But there you have an asmachta. And it's Arayis, and here you're dealing with Mormonists, and they use a different Russian.
Okay, so again, as I say, I plead the fifth on this. We'd have to go through the Gemara and Kiddushin on, you know, with a fine-tooth comb. But one thing I want to have you on my team. Gilgal Shvua is Dorais. It's not a rabbinic institution. There is such an institution as a Shvua Derabbanon, which is classically known as the Shvuas Nishbat V'Notel, correct? Because on a Doraisa level, there ain't no such institution as the Shvuas Nishbat V'Notel. But in the case of Gilgal Shvua, which is a Nishbat V'Niftar, we're not talking about some sort of rabbinic institution. And Rashi goes out of his way to point out that Gilgal Shvua is Doraisa. You may not appreciate the next few words around the Alfinan Le Misota Shenemar Amen Amen. For that, you have to go through the Gemara in Kiddushin that makes that equation. But you have to accept the final conclusion here. Because otherwise, again, keep in mind, Rabosai, Rav Chiya's goal through the Kal V'Chomer is, I'll give you a choice, is to derive a Doraisa or B a Derabbanan. What's the answer to that question? A Doraisa. I mean, Rav Chiya is not talking about instituting a Shvua Derabbanan. In fact, the whole sugya of Rav Chiya is against Rav Yochanan. Remember, whenever our good friend, our good buddy Rav Yochanan, back on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, there Rav Yochanan says the entire Shvua in Shnayim Ochsu V'Talis is a rabbinic institution. So that's not Rav Chiya.
Okay,
it's Chavero. Yeah. But that's not Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya is saying, no, I'm going to prove from our mission of Shnayim Ochsu V'Talis that two Eidim could be Mechayev Shvua. Meaning he understood that our mission is based on a Doraisa halacha, and that halacha is a general halacha that whenever a claim is supported by two Eidim, the balance of the claim that's not supported by two Eidim has to be contradicted with a Shvua. And that, according to Rav Chiya, is a full-fledged din Doraisa, and he derives it from a Kal V'Chomer, which is one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Midrashes Bahem, and it generates a Doraisa. In this particular case of a Kal V'Chomer from Gilgal Shvua Deid Echad, the Gemara applies the Kal V'Chomer on a Doraisa level because Gilgal Shvua is Doraisa. The Gemara rejects it because Shvua Gorer is Shvua. Again, the language of Shvua Gorer is Shvua should not be misunderstood as some sort of a Derabbanan, you know, like you have Gzeros because, you know, if you do X, you might do Y, and then Asus Yagla Torah. That's not what Shvua Gorer Shvua is all about. Shvua Gorer Shvua means that once you have a claim against someone and you've supported that claim to the extent that the Torah is Mechayev Shvua, you now can expand that Shvua to cover other issues. So, you know, you're going to take a Shvua to deny this Alva, and you're going to take the Shvua now to deny a certain Pikadon and so forth, just like in the case of Sota, she has to take a double Shvua. So now, Rabose, at this point, we seem to be really stuck with Rav Chiya. Why? Because we absolutely smashed the Kal V'Chomer. So now we have to come up with some sort of a new formulation of the Kal V'Chomer. And that's what the Gemara has to do in order to defend Rabbi Chiya. Okay. So the Gemara answers with two words here. Piv Yochiach. Okay, we're going to try to understand what the Gemara means by Piv Yochiach. This is what's called a Tzad HaShava, meaning if I have a Kal V'Chomer from X and there's a Pircha on X, I'm going to have to use Y and then join forces between X and Y. So until now, we started with Rav Chiya based on Piv. We rejected that because of the Pircha of Mala Piv Shekein Eino Bakchosh. Then we replaced that Kal V'Chomer with Eid Echad. We rejected the Kal V'Chomer of Eid Echad because Eino Nishpa, excuse me, because in Eid Echad is Nishpa Al Masha Heid. Whereas in the case of Rav Chiya of Tu Eidim, Eino Nishba Al Masha Heid. But now, the Gemara is going to somehow plug up the pircha, that hole in the Kal V'Chomer, by introducing piv. So we're going back in a sense to piv. But keep in mind, we're not dropping the ball on Eid Echad. We're going to somehow combine the Kal V'Chomer from Eid Echad, the Gilgal Shvuah, and counter against that pircha from piv. Again, in case of piv, he admits 50 and he denies the 50. He's going to have to take a shvu on the 50 that he denies. That's going to prove to me, if I combine that with Eid Echad, that we can have a shvu that is generated either by Eid Echad or by Piv, even on something which goes beyond the Eid Echad and the Piv. Again, in the case of Eid Echad, it goes beyond the Eidus of the Eid Echad. In the case of Gilgal Shvuah, in the case of Piv, we have a Chiyuv Shvuah to be Makhish, or I should say to be, that's a good word, right? To be Makhish, that part of the Tviya that the Piv is testifying that he doesn't owe, because his testimony is that he owes 50 and not the other 50. So the other 50, which he denies, he's going to have to take a shvuah. So that's called Piv Yochiach. So let's read Rashi here on Piv Yochiach. Rashi says, Moda b'miktsas hataina is going to prove she'al ma shekofer u'piv lo hoda hu nishba. So what we're trying to do is establish that you can generate a chiyuv shvuah on mashalo hoda. So if we take Reb Chiya's case of Shnei Edim, and the Shnei Edim are equivalent to a kind of hoda, right? Because there's no question he has to pay that amount of money. Now he's going to take a shvuah on mashalo hoda, and that's going to help us with this Kal V'Chomer from Eid Echad, because in the case of Eid Echad, the Shvuah is going to be a Shvuah al ma shelo heid, correct? So the Gemara immediately slugs this up and says, Malapiv shekein eina bakhasha. So you can't use a Kal V'Chomer from Piv, because Piv has that great, it's invulnerable to Akrosha. Eid Echad Yochiach, Sheyesh no Bakrosha. So now we're going to have the case of Eid Echad with this Achiv Shvuah, even though there would be Akrosha. So if there are two Eidim that testify against the Eid Echad, it would completely invalidate the testimony of the Eid Echad. Mechaivo Shvuah. Now again, if you're going to tell me that Reb Chiya derives his conclusion from Eid Echad, I have a problem, because Mal Eid Echad Shekein Al Masha Meiru Nishba, that the Shvuah is on that part of the testimony that was presented by the Eid Echad to support the Tofer. Is Tomer Shubba Eidim Shal Masha Kofar Nishba. But then Piv Yochiach, because in the case of Piv, like in the case of Eidim, he's going to have to take a Shvuah Al Mashu Kofar. V'chazar adin lo roi zeh k'roi zeh v'lo roi zeh k'roi zeh hatzad shovah shebehen shal yidei taina u'kfira heim boim v'nishpa af ani avi eidim shekein al yidei taina u'kfira heim boim, and therefore Reb Chiya's conclusion is v'nishpa. So here's where Tosfos introduces the concept of a taina chashuva. What this tzad shovah is going to prove to us is that whenever there's a taina chashuva, which means there's support for the claim of the toin, right? Ein adam tovel im kein yesh lo, but yet if he has no evidence whatsoever, that undermines his taina. As long as he has some sort of evidence that he has a taina against someone, so at least to some extent his taina is proven, is established to be true, and that would generate a chiyuv shvuah to be machish his taina. That's what's going to happen over here, because both in the cases of Eid Echad and Moda B'Miktsas, we have what's called Al Yidei Taina U'Kfira Heim Boim. The Shvuah is a result of the Taina and the Kfira. Again, it's a little bit different in each case, as we said before, because in the case of the piv, he's going to take a shvua on the kfira. In the case of the erechot, he's not taking a shvua on the kfira, he's taking a shvua to be machish the erechot. But what's common to both cases is they're both al yedei taina ushvua heim boin.
Tainu
kfira. Tainu kfira heim boin. So let's take a look at Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, Tainu kfira, ze toin v'ze kofer. In both cases, there's a taina and a kfira, hein boim l'din. That's the way we come to Beis Din, with a taina against the kfira, and if that taina is supported with some element of evidence that indicates that his taina is a true taina, then he has to take a shvua. So if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos says in Tomar, Kofra kol yochiyash adei taina kfira potter. You can't tell me that you're going to derive a conclusion that whenever there's a taina and a kfira, there's going to be a shvua. That's not true. In Kofra kol, there is no shvua. V'yesh lomar da'atzad ha'shova bahen, sheish taina chashuva. D'chshemodu b'miktsas o'ed ha'makhisho, nira d'meshaker v'yesh v'lekach yesh shvua. So whenever there's evidence that strengthens the claim of the claimant, right, of the Toveya, he, through that taina, is able to be mechayev a shvua. And this we see from the combination of Eid Echad and Modu b'miktsa sataina. Now the Gemara is about to slug up both, because in both cases we have a principle called lo huchsa kafron. In other words, we don't know that he lied under oath, so to speak. So therefore we can take his oath and we can rely on. But that's not going to be the case in Edim, where we know for sure that he lied, because the Edim are machishim on half of the time. So Rav Osai Bulinetta, tomorrow we'll pick up this next piece of Gemara about huchsa kafron. Is there anyone here who has a pencil that I can borrow for a split second? No. Okay. I don't like to use a pen if I could avoid it. You have a pencil? Oh, that's excellent. Okay.